Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to remind everyone to, if you haven't already, fill out the end of season survey, which you can find in the description for this episode. Now, on to the episode. Hello, and welcome to the Alternate History Class Podcast. My name's Andrew, and here we explore alternate history through the lens of a history class from another timeline. Last week, we explored the Battle of Waterloo. This week, we'll explore what would happen if things worked out differently. Last week, we left off after the Violent Revolution and the beginning of the final campaign. Can anyone tell me why it was called the Violent Revolution? Do none of you remember? Alright. Write this down this time. This will be on your exam. The Violent Revolution was called such because this was the royal flower of the imperial family due to its popularity with both of the empresses and its tie to supporters of the emperor before the restoration of the Bonaparte dynasty. Now, when we had left off, Marshal Ney had held Wellington from reinforcing at Ligny, leading Napoleon to drive off the Prussians. We pick up now 2 days later at a battle where Wellington finally gave battle at a small town called Waterloo. Waterloo would turn out, as many of you know, to become one of the most famous battles and most famous locations of the Napoleonic era. Now, this battle would begin with an assault by the French left on the Hougomont estate. The battle there would be fierce and last longer than it probably should have due to strong resistance from the British and Dutch and German mercenaries that held the building. But they were broken, and this was marked as a key moment by both Napoleon in his memoirs and by the losing commander in Wellington, thinking that if they had held out there, they may have been able to win the day. It was shortly after Hougomont fell that Napoleon would receive word that the Prussians had decided to regroup and come back, and they had gotten by his flanking forces meant to keep them away. And so, instead of his original plan, Napoleon decided to break the British as quickly as possible. And on a massive charge, the British would end up breaking early in the afternoon of that day. A group did hold out at a farmhouse that is still memorialized in British culture today, named La Sainte Hélène. But they would eventually be crushed. The British would be driven off the field, and Napoleon would send Marshal Ney to pursue the British and ensure that they did not wheel back around to support the incoming Prussians. When the Prussians arrived, Napoleon had already turned to meet them, and he was able to not only engage them, but once again defeat Blücher. And the Prussians demoralized, not only at their second defeat in 3 days, but at seeing that the British had been routed themselves, would rout and flee. And this would break the back of the Prussian spirit for this particular war, obviously not the Prussian spirit for war in general. This defeat would cause the British to pull off of the continent, although this was not known to Napoleon when he took Brussels on June 20th. It was known by the time the Dutch and the Prussians sued for peace on June 21st. The Austrians and the Russians, seeing as how now Napoleon had the upper hand and had taken a army of mainly fresh recruits, although there was a decent amount of veterans, and had defeated both the formidable forces of the Prussians and the British already, would decide to sue for peace themselves on June 24th. Now, you'll note that the British here did not sue for peace, as we have touched on the animosity between the British crown and the Bonaparte dynasty at this time. This would lead to what would become known as the Paris Amendment, as the Congress of Vienna had been signed the day before, most likely in anticipation of a French defeat at Waterloo, which, mind you, could have happened, but did not. Now, in the Paris Amendment, the United Kingdom of the Netherlands would cede the southern Netherlands, or as we know them today, Belgium, to the French, and this new Belgian state would be a French puppet and serve as a bit of a soft buffer between the French and the Dutch. There would also be lands in Piedmont, Savoy, and Nice that were being planned to be given to the Kingdom of Sardinia, but would be instead formed into a kingdom known simply as the Duchy of Piedmont. And it would serve as a buffer between Austria and France. It would obviously fall more under French sway than Austrian sway, but it would serve as a buffer nonetheless between the two nations. The duchies of Parma, Piancha, and Guastalla would still be given to Napoleon's wife, Empress Marie Louise, but Napoleon would revoke any claims that could potentially be given to his son as not to upset the balance of the expansion of France and the power of the Napoleonic dynasty, the Bonaparte's dynasty, I should say. Now, the British would be the only great power who would not recognize the Paris Amendment, and this would stay this way until the 1820 elections. These parliamentary elections would be the first victory for the Whig Party, a party that more wanted peace and stability to build back up British trade and a British economy that had been ravaged by nearly three decades of war. These elections were triggered by the death of George III. So, only a few weeks after the Prime Minister, Earl Grey, would be asked to form a government by His Majesty King George IV. Both would sign the Paris Amendment and formally end nearly 30 years of near-continuous conflict between the France and the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland. It was a historic day for both sides. Now, these came near the end of Napoleon's reign, and I imagine he was grateful to see his coming. His focus had been on rebuilding the French economy. Now, many speculated, and many Tories in the British government were speculating that he was doing this solely to go on an offensive war against the United Kingdom. But that would be quashed by the British recognition of the Paris Amendment. Now, this was not common news at the time, but Napoleon's health was also deteriorating at the time. He was focused on building up his legacy and writing memoirs and the such, much of which we still have with us today. But the era of Napoleon would come to an end on the 5th of May, 1821, when he would finally succumb to what would later be discovered upon his death to be stomach cancer, something that we would in later days find out was something that he was somewhat genetically predisposed to, as his father had also died of stomach cancer. Now, this would leave his throne to his young and inexperienced son, Napoleon, who would take the regal name Napoleon II. And due to his young age and what would happen during the reign, he would earn the epitaph of Napoleon the Younger, which can sometimes be helpful when dealing with the Bonaparte dynasty, as many would take the regal name Napoleon in honor of the founder of the dynasty. But with that would end a great era of the French Republic turned empire, as Napoleon was popular until his death, as he was seen as the man who had secured the independence of France from the other great powers, from the machinations of those who wanted to instaur the highly unpopular Bourbon dynasty upon the throne. His reforms helped greatly modernize and advance France, and it would be a hard legacy for anyone following him up to live up to. But next time we will look at how his son, Napoleon II, would take that opportunity and would attempt to build upon his father's legacy for the time he did spend on the throne. Thank you for listening to the Alternate History Class podcast. If you'd like to give any feedback you have, feel free to reach out via Twitter at @AltHisClassPod or email the show at althisclass@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe or follow the show on your preferred podcasting platform so you don't miss an episode when it goes live. If you are able, want to help the show financially, you can support the show on Patreon. Just search for Alternate History Class or use the link in the description of this episode. If you can't support the show financially, that's fine. Feel free to share the show with someone you think will enjoy it. And finally, thank you for your most important contribution, your time. And I'll see you next time as we journey down the path not taken.